And we've also been following that HIV outbreak in the small town of Austin, Indiana. As of this month, there are 163 confirmed HIV cases there, traced to the sharing of needles by people using a prescription opiate. Health experts are now warning that other rural communities could face similar outbreaks in the future if the right lessons are not learned from Indiana. Jennifer Cates is Vice President and Director of Global Health and HIV Policy at the Kaiser Family Foundation. Jen Cates, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
And experts are looking at what's going on in Indiana and saying this is not just about Indiana. This is the new face of the HIV epidemic in this country. It's going to be rural, and it's going to have to do with sharing of needles.
Yeah, I think what's happening in Indiana is a definite wake-up call to everyone, especially to people who think HIV is over. I think important to remember is that HIV has always been an urban disease in the U.S., and it's likely to continue to be an urban disease. But Indiana is a harbinger for what could happen and what is likely to happen in some communities. And namely, that's communities like Austin that are rural, poor, have less resources, less healthcare resources, and face it, an increasing injection drug use challenge. And once you introduce HIV or hepatitis C into a network like that, that's where you get an epidemic.
But what has led to this situation? Because this really did come out of nowhere for health officials in Indiana. This happened very quickly.
It did. And I think when you look more closely at the situation, it was kind of the perfect storm of what could happen and what happens with an infectious disease. There was a network, a drug-using network. This could also happen with a sexual network, where people were sharing needles and syringes, which can be a very significant cause of HIV transmission and hepatitis C transmission. And all of a sudden, when one of those diseases, in this case HIV and hep C, gets introduced, it spreads quickly through the network. That's what happened. All it takes is one infection. And if people are sharing and with a very efficient transmission mode, that's when it can happen. And if HIV never got introduced to that community, HIV would not be in that community.
And a lot of people are looking to needle exchange programs as one possible answer. The governor there, Mike Pence, who is against needle exchange programs, has decided to put one in place, at least temporarily, there in that part of Indiana to try and solve this problem. But how much of the blame lays, when it comes to needle exchange programs, at the foot of the federal government, which has had this ban in place for a long time? President Obama overturned the ban, but then back in 2011, House Republicans reinstated it. So there's a ban on any federal funding of needle exchanges.
Right. I think what's happening right now with the action of the governor in Indiana, it's causing a dramatic rethinking of needle exchange among those who previously were not really supportive. Needle exchange is one of the most studied interventions in HIV prevention out there, and study after study has shown that it's a very effective intervention when used as part of a comprehensive approach. When people talk about the federal ban on funding for needle exchange, which, as you note, is in place, that's really important as a challenge because the federal government is the biggest funder of HIV prevention services in this country. With that ban, it means that federal funds, which are the large main source of funding for HIV prevention, are not able to be used for what is a very effective, scientifically proven intervention. The other reason there's a focus on the federal ban is because it sends a message that something is not right with these interventions. And science does not say that. Science says needle exchange is very effective. So that's why there's so much attention on the federal ban.
Well, and in fact, Politico has done some great reporting on this. We'll link you to it at hereandnow.org. But they looked at what happened in Connecticut, where exchanges were made legal in 1992. And while in 2002, 40% of the state's new HIV infections came from injection drug use, more than a decade later, that share fell to 8.5%. So it appears that the needle exchange really did make a difference there.
Yes, and Connecticut is a great example of that. New York City is a great example of that. There are other places in the country where using private funds or using local funds in some cases, communities were able to implement needle exchange and provide clean needles and syringes to drug users along with other interventions, and it has had a very, very big effect. Drug-using transmission of HIV or drug-related transmission of HIV was a big factor in the early 80s across the country, and it's really because of needle exchange and other interventions that we've seen this drop.
And what about those who would look at this and say, well, what we need to do is tackle the issue of drug use in these rural areas?
Yeah, I think everyone would agree, public health officials would agree, that drug use is what is driving a lot of this right now, and that the rise of use of opiates and injecting opiates is a real problem in many communities. There's studies after studies that's showing that Appalachia, for example, is having a similar problem with Hep C because of injection drug use. You have to address drug use. That is clearly an underlying problem. But one way to address drug use is to also help people get linked to the services and reduce their risk for infections that could seriously affect their health. So it's not either or, it's both.
So as you, as the Vice President and Director of Global Health and HIV Policy at the Kaiser Family Foundation, look out on the horizon and you see these new cases happening in rural areas, do you fear that we're entering another era where HIV is going to be on the rise, or are we coming to a point where because of different behaviors and because people are being more careful with needles and things like that, that we are getting to a better place with HIV?
I think in general, looking across the country, we're at a better place than we've been in a long time, but we still have a lot of challenges. The biggest impact of HIV in this country is still among gay and bisexual men, and particularly those of color. And that has not changed and is getting, in some places, worse. So that's really the challenge. What's happening now in some of these smaller communities, it's unclear if this is going to contribute to an overall rise or if this is something that it's a real wake-up call and public health officials can get ahead of it and get the tools they need to make sure that this doesn't happen in community after community. I think it's something that we have to be very vigilant about going forward.
That's Jen Cates, Vice President and Director of Global Health and HIV Policy at the Kaiser Family Foundation. Jen, thank you so much.
Thank you.